Prepare yourself for Liftoff, the gaming podcast where your hosts, Brian and Ryan, rank the things they love. 3, 2, 1, Liftoff!
It's a bird, it's a plane, and it's definitely not Superman, because we are discussing our top three superheroes that deserve their own video game. And it's only a top three because we are joined today with our guest from PlayCube Gamecast. Welcome, Chase. How's it going, Chase?
It's going pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, doing, good, doing great.
Yeah. Doing good as always.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I said PlayCube Gamecast. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your podcast, Chase?
Yeah, mostly we review retro video games, see if they're still worth playing today, in today's modern era, if you will.
Sure. Yeah, I love the name PlayCube. That's just, yeah, that brings up a lot of cool images. So,
it comes from pretty much the PlayStation, GameCube, Dreamcast, Game Boy Advance, just right. All combined into one.
It's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect.
With Gamecast, I automatically just thought kind of podcast, but yeah, I see all that in there. That's awesome.
I was going to say, I love your Mafia episodes because those were games I had skipped, but like hearing you and Jimmy talk about the game, it's like, man, I really probably should go back and play that.
I say the Mafia 3 is probably the worst one for me, actually.
Yeah, I gathered.
Like, I like the story for it. I just don't like the way to get to that story.
Right.
Nice. All right. Well, as our guest, what have you been playing this week, Chase? Anything interesting?
Let's see. I've been playing Castlevania Circle of the Moon and Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Nice. Are you playing Circle of the Moon in that new anniversary release?
Yes, it's the best version of that game.
Yeah. What are you saying? The original GBA with the, you have to have like a worm light is not the way to play.
Hey, I'm playing it. I've been playing that on a modded GBA. It's amazing.
Oh, that's nice. Cool. Yeah. I've been debating getting that Castlevania Advanced Collection. I guess you're saying it's definitely worth it, right?
For $20, hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm like so stingy. I'm waiting till it goes on sale, but it's $20. Like, what's my problem?
You know, I think it is on sale right now on a Switch, maybe.
Oh, really? Okay. Very cool. And I always see your screenshots from Miles Morales too, man. You take some good pics of that. It's an easy game to take like really good pictures of in photo mode, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, definitely.
Yeah, lots of good reflections and ray tracing and lighting effects and all that. Yeah, it's a beautiful game. I love it. My favorite of the two Spider-Man games, actually.
I can't wait for Insomniac to do another. Yeah. Wait, never mind. That's later on.
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for that Wolverine game, too, man. Oof. Can't wait for that. Yeah, I think it's going to be a different build than like that open world Spider-Man type, you know?
Oh, the trailer for Spider-Man 2, and I'm very excited for Venom.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It sounds like Kraven might be in it too.
I heard that every suit will have its own Black Venom symbiote variant.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Wow. Man, they do such a good job with the variety of suits in those games too. It's incredible. Right? It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't they have like a Into the Spider-Verse costume in the Spider-Man game? That was pretty cool.
The Miles Morales one? Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he hasn't been there, gotten it yet. So, spoiler alert, I guess. Well,
sorry. I mean, it's not like part of the story or anything. It's just like another suit.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You spoiled it. Good job.
I did. Yes. What about you, Ryan? Anything going on this week?
Yeah. So I did. I beat Inscription. Made it through the game. We'll be talking about that a little bit later, so I don't want to give much away. But yeah, must play if you have the means to play it. I think anybody, retro gamer, modern gamer, it doesn't matter. Like, there is enough there for you to enjoy in this game. I would absolutely say it would have been really, really high on my 2021 game of the year list if I had played it in 2021. I kind of want to do a revision of that list as a whole already.
Right. Me too.
Yeah, it was so good, man. But I don't want to talk too much about that game.
Maybe we'll do more on it.
We'll find out. But I really wanted to go back to the first Mass Effect, because I know you've been telling me for years that I need to play through those games, and you're not the only one, you know. I definitely feel like it's something that I missed in my gaming life. I couldn't go back to the first game. So instead I played a lot of Hollow Knight, which is great. I love Hollow Knight now. It's phenomenal. I've gotten far enough I have enough abilities that I'm really like, the world has kind of opened up more and more to me. And now it's just like, I don't have a single way to go. It's like, I have multiple ways to go. And
so is that what did it? Is that the click for you? Like, you have more to explore?
No, I enjoyed it before. The setting's really great. The music's great. Lots of wonderful like piano tunes in it. But I felt like it just, it didn't have anything that, like, you could tell it was going to get there, but it was kind of a slow burn to get, totally. You know, you get a single ability, right? Relatively early on that opens some things up, but it's really that there's a second ability that I got, which is, I mean, I guess it's not a spoiler, right? If I say what the ability is.
I mean, that game's pretty old.
So once you get the wall jump, it's like, okay, like, this is good now. Now the game's good. Like, prior to that, it's kind of like, man, this is taking way too long between gaining abilities. But I feel like once you get that wall jump, you start getting abilities and like power-ups quicker than before. So I think that's why it's gotten better. The rewards are coming faster now. And I think that has made me enjoy the game a little more.
Sweet. Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah, it is. It's a great game. Definitely. Definitely.
Awesome. But anything else?
Mass Effect's boring.
Yeah, well, okay. Mass Effect 1, it struggles a bit, especially in the gameplay. I can understand that. Yeah, yeah. But you can't not play it because those characters, right. I mean, it's the start of everything.
Totally.
It's essential.
And Chase, like, you being a mostly retro reviewer, you probably understand that, like, it's a little difficult to play this game in 2022. I could see how it would have been amazing 15 years ago, but playing it now, it's like, man, this is really dated gameplay. Like, the characters in the story are what's keeping me going, but the gameplay itself is like, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So how about you, Brian?
Well, I'm curious, one last thing on Mass Effect. Who did you save in the beginning? Because you get a choice between two characters kind of on that first mission.
I don't even remember. Wait, like, there's, so who are the two?
There's Ashley and then the other guy, Caden or something.
Oh, I have both of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought one of them had to go.
No, I have Caden and Ashley. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I could have sworn that one of them had to die.
Wait, Ashley's like the, she's kind of like, not, I guess, racist is a way to put it, right? She like hates all the alien races.
That like seems right.
Actively speaks out against how like terrible they all are.
Yeah.
And how like you have to put humans first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Ashley.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm just bad at the game.
Caden's like all traumatized from his past, right? I think. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think
and Caden, sure. Caden is the same voice actor that was in the Knights of the Old Republic game. I forget which character he played, but they used the same guy, and I think he has a cool voice. So I think I saved him in the beginning there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I don't know if I was ever given a choice between two of them. Somebody died in the first mission, but it was like some guy who prior to the mission was like, man, I'm so pumped for this, bro. I get to kill things. And then he like dies immediately. I thought that was pretty funny.
he telegraphed his own demise there.
I thought that was great. He's like, yeah, finally I get my piece of the action. Anyway.
Yeah.
What about you, Brian?
But for me, it was just more Returnal. So I think I texted you about my progress there. And I got to the third boss and almost beat them on my first try.
Yeah.
But I just, so the trickiest part of that game, and I don't know if I'm the only one who has this problem, but I always fall off of places. And the third boss is like really difficult for that kind of scenario.
Right.
What always happens to me is I'll fall and then I'll still be pressing forward and the game puts you like an inch from the edge in any circumstance. So I like fall again. So I take like double damage from that all the time. And that happened a lot on this match just because of the way the boss is set up. So
the third boss. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm this is in the first stage of the third boss that you're talking about. Well, or the seconds, like, is it like when you're supposed to be? This is kind of spoilery, I guess. But like,
well, I mean, I've gotten through all three phases, so I know all the different phases of it. I was like an inch of beating this boss, but just even in the regular gameplay, I'm mm-hmm. always having a hard time like staying with good footing and not falling into a pit and taking like a third of my health.
Right.
So that's my biggest challenge in this game, which seems kind of silly, but. It is.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, if you remember, that's the one that I hated the falling. in
totally.
That, yeah. So like I had a big problem with it too. So no, I get it. Yeah. Totally. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. But just Returnal for me. So.
Yeah. Are you going to take a break from it or you think no. you're going to try to.
So when I say a break, I mean like, okay, I've played for like 2 hours. I need to not have sweaty palms.
I need
like,
to breathe. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause that game, this Returnal is basically StarCraft in that you're like constantly on edge and completely stressed out. Mm-hmm. But when you do triumph, it's amazing. But yeah, I need something kind of to play as a buffer because it's a little too intense.
Yeah.
All the time.
It is super intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those are some good playlists. What do you guys say we get into these lists then?
Let's do it.
All right.
All right.
Okay. So as our guest, Chase, why don't you take it away? We've got our top three plus an honorable mention of the superheroes that do deserve their own games.
Can I butt in real quick? I'm sorry, Chase, you didn't even get a chance and I'm like interrupting you. I want to say like you suggested this topic and I love it. It's something I would have, even being a comic book reader, I probably never would have come up with myself. And I just loved like the idea of, oh, like things that don't exist that you want to exist. Like what a great idea for a list. And to make it superheroes is like the perfect calling for me, man. I was so excited to approach this list. So thank you for that, dude.
Hey, anytime. So I have two for honorable mentions because they're both just so silly enough it could work.
Okay.
I'm ready.
All right. So first things first, Hulk, I know he already has a game, but a Dr. Banner focused game.
Ah, that's kind of cool. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
So do you play as Hulk at all, I guess, is my question.
I'll explain the game. It's okay. Dr. Banner's Yoga Simulator.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm picturing this as a VR game. But say you're practicing yoga. Dr. Bruce Banner is the instructor. And every time you mess up, he kind of turns a little bit green and rushes the camera.
Oh, my. Jeez.
Like if you do the position incorrectly, like come and get you. It's pretty good.
So you definitely have to like keep him at bay, basically, is the fail state there.
Yeah.
That's good.
I like it.
And the other one is Hawkeye.
Okay.
Wait, Hawkeye?
Hawkeye.
Like from the series, like right, the MCU.
Yeah,
right?
Clint Barton.
Okay, cool. I thought you were saying hot guy for a second. And I was like, who's that? Like, does he have like fire powers or what's up with hot guy? I got it, dude. Hawkeye. I got it, man. All right. That's my bad. Sorry.
All right. So picture this. We have Link's crossbow training from the Wii, except it's Hawkeye with trick arrows.
Oh my gosh.
That could be cool. That could be cool in VR.
You're basically playing like pool with arrows and they're ricocheting off things.
Yes.
I actually liked the crossbow simulator from the Wii. I had the little extension that was only used for that one game.
I never played it. Was it any good?
I honestly haven't played it either.
Yeah.
Most people would probably say no. I like that idea. That would be another one that would work in VR, man. You know, like the action of like pulling back the bow and and you could do some cool effects with the trick arrows. The show like showed us as much, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, those are good picks. Those are cool picks for sure.
I would
play both of them. Definitely. So I guess would you go next, Brian?
Yes.
We always get confused here, you know.
Right, right. Whenever I have a guest rotation.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We'd be a well-oiled machine, but man, we are just like destined to get this wrong.
Right, right. No, but I believe it is my turn. My honorable mention, Hot Guy. Yes. It's kind of like Free Guy, but you have fire powers. So yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But no. So my honorable mention. So this is a difficult one, and that's why it's my honorable mention. But it is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Okay. Listen, I know they have their own games, but this one is more in the realm of, I'm thinking like a God of War. So we're third person behind the camera, or, okay, you know, like kind of really close to the turtle. And then we're doing story stuff. So we're going through, I'm picturing basically the 90s movies. Okay. So we're following Raphael. He's in the city. He's pissed off, and right, he's just like,
I'm gonna go watch Critters.
Exactly right. So he's doing his own vigilante stuff. We got Leonardo sections where he's just like trying to like amp up the team, and you know, he's practicing his sword stuff. Michelangelo, he can just like party and do whatever. Those are just like bonus levels, I'm thinking. And then Donatello can have like different like tech sections, with, I don't know, different mini games. I'm thinking like BioShock puzzles where you're doing like the flow of the water and stuff. Like he'll figure out puzzles like that basically. Mm-hmm. So they each have different things, but you're only playing as one turtle at a time. And then you'll get into these larger sections where maybe the other turtles show up and you kind of play off each other like Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay. So a much more like turtle individual focused game is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think that could be cool. Yeah. I can't help but feel like you used your honorable mention just for a shot at me. So you're like, all these other turtles do cool stuff, then Michelangelo just like eats pizza. I don't know.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, wow. Jesus. Donatello's definitely going to have the cool sections.
Right? He gets like the puzzly sections. Yep. Michelangelo's just like, oh, eat pizza. Party. Yeah. I don't know.
It's just like a fishing mini game, but with pizza.
So see, I like, this is why this topic's really cool, man, because you could have it where like, maybe you're playing through, you know, have like Raphael and Leonardo, or like Michelangelo is like the combat based ones.
Yeah.
And Donatello like back at the lab, like, hey, we need to find a way past this gate. And then you get into like a hacking mini game. Right. Yeah, it could be really cool.
So they're always just beat 'em ups. Like that's like the mainstay turtle game, but I feel like there's so much more there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. We'll absolutely see. Good one. Good one. So my number four is Squirrel Girl. Are you guys familiar with Squirrel Girl? Squirrel Girl. I can't even say the name, but, so Squirrel Girl is basically like Spider-Man, but a woman and with squirrel powers. Yeah, she has a furry prehensile tail that is roughly 3 to 4 feet, whereas squirrels are not prehensile. Hers is. She has like buck teeth strong enough to chew through wood, superhuman strength and agility like a squirrel. So picture like wall jumps, things like that, jumping between trees, right?
She could glide.
She could take falls. I don't know if she could glide. I'm not terribly familiar with that being in her power set, but she does have like sharp claws to assist with climbing, and as you can imagine, she's super fast and agile, right? Like actually in combat she could go hand to hand, according to Wikipedia, she could go hand to hand against Wolverine and like be successful as long as he doesn't use his claws, right? So I mean, hey, that's something, right? But she's kind of like this quirky, goofy, lighthearted character. And I think like it would be really cool to have this game set aside from all these like world-ending threats. You know, she was members of like the Great Lakes Avengers and stuff like that. And you could have, well, it's a real opportunity for them to like shine on these like D-list characters, right? And have like some of these just like joke characters get like a spotlight and really shine light on like a side of the Marvel universe you don't get to see. They could be going up against like villains or like taking on small town crime, you know, and I could just picture the dialogue being really good. And eventually, like, obviously maybe they uncover a bigger plot that ramps up into more, but I think it would be really cool. 'Cause you know, there's a lot of dark and moody games out there, and I appreciate those games as much as anybody else. They're some of my favorite, but like Guardians of the Galaxy did a really good job with the humor, right? And this could just take it one step further where you're with the laughing stock of superheroes. And Squirrel Girl isn't. Like, she could hold her own, but she definitely associates with those types of heroes and really, like, give them an opportunity to show that there's something more. It could really be an underdog story, and I think it'd be great. I think it could be a lot of fun.
This is a real character?
Yeah, it's a real character, Squirrel Girl. Yeah.
Wow.
Funny enough, the only thing I know about Squirrel Girl is that she managed to defeat both Dr. Doom and Thanos.
And Thanos, that's right. That's right. She could hold
her by own, herself.
Man. Yeah, it's true.
Well, where was she when Thanos was taking over the world?
Not in the MCU.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, she actually can communicate with squirrels too, and it's not telepathically.
Oh, wow.
So she could make good squirrel noises.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah, I'll take it. That sounds like a good game. I don't know how well it would sell, but well, yeah, sounds fun to play.
I think it would sell incredibly. Come on.
Sounds like a good Game Pass game.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Wow.
All right. Well, yeah. What do you got for us next, Chase?
I have the question from DC.
Oh, very cool.
Question.
He has like a...
like no face, right?
It's like Rorschach without the ink.
Right. Like a blank face. Yeah. Yeah.
So it could either go one or two ways. You can have like a Batman Arkham game with more emphasis on detective work and occasional fighting, or just a full-on detective mode point-and-click adventure.
Well, that'd be cool,
wow.
Too.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
The story could be more like the question is solving some wild conspiracies, you know, stuff like a certain pesticide named atrazine leaked into the water and is causing certain amphibians to develop laser eyes.
Oh, jeez.
Or a large number of pigeons in Hub City is secretly drones that record everyone walking the street.
Oh, that'd be
nice.
Wait, that's not what really happens in the real world?
Or maybe just a high number of high profile people has been abducted and replaced with shapeshifters, you know, just trying to destroy the government from the inside.
Right. Right.
Nice.
And the weird thing is all of these conspiracies just turn out to be true.
Right.
Oh, geez.
So this is off topic, but have you been watching Peacemaker at all? The show Peacemaker?
Not yet.
Okay. You should watch it. That's all I'm going to say. But no, I think that'd be great. The Question is a very cool character. And I like the idea of an actual, like more grounded, right? Like detective oriented gameplay. That would be cool for sure. For sure.
Yeah. I had really liked in Arkham Origins, they did a lot more detective stuff. I really enjoyed those kind of puzzly sections, and the other Arkham games didn't really focus on that. And even in Batman VR, that was like the crux of what you were doing. So I think there's a thirst for that kind of stuff. That would be cool.
Would it be kind of like a noir in tone kind of game, like noir detective game?
That could totally work, like everything in like more of a sepia tone.
Right, right. It would be cool. It would be cool. Speaking of DC and noir kind of detective games, my number three. Well, actually, it's Brian's turn.
I was going to say, man.
Oh my God, dude.
If you had some
sort of interlude. I had a good segue, though. I had a really good segue.
Well, I have no segue, and I'll just say my number three is Black Panther.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there was a huge fervor around this character for a long time. And, you know, people are still really attached to Black Panther, certainly. I feel like game-wise, you have a real opportunity with Wakanda. That's like such a cool setting, especially with just like the way that you get into it. I feel like I wanted to fight in that battle. Like playing that in a video game would be so cool. And that could have multifaceted, like, I don't want to say RTS, but like kind of top-down views of the battlefields where you're having to have some strategy about where they were like attacking and trying to get in. But definitely third person action game for this because of the hand-to-hand combat. But I mean, just so many cool abilities just with like running around and being able to climb and just, I mean, every single like set piece of the movies, at least, which is all I have to draw from. Those were all really cool. Just like with the motorcycle chase. I think all those would be really cool video game sequences, basically.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So.
I'm just picturing like a Fire Emblem Three Houses kind of vibe going on there.
Oh, okay.
Cool. I was thinking like a Hyrule Warriors or like Dynasty Warriors.
Okay. Yeah.
But like both would work, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be intense.
Right. Because then you get like the big battlefield, but you also get to like be a part in it. And you also have like the other superheroes in it and stuff. It could be cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is one I think could actually happen one day. there's a sequel coming out of the movie, so I feel like there's still going to be pushing this character. So we'll see.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're all going to be like relegated to the Avengers game now.
Like
people like Hot Guy and and like Black Panther. I wonder if they'll ever break out of that. I really hope they do because they're both good characters. I really love the Hot Guy series. I'm saying Hawkeye. I loved it on Disney Plus. I thought it was great. I thought they did a good job with the character, and I think there's a lot of opportunity there with Black Panther too. And it would kind of be crappy if they're like the only time they get to shine in a video game is in a game that most people have forgotten.
What do you mean exactly?
In the Avengers game that's currently.
Waste that on that. Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I mean, people really liked the Black Panther and Wakanda sections in Avengers.
But who was playing it at that point?
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. Do they even have other characters that are coming out, or it's completely cool?
I think Spider-Man came out.
Okay.
For PlayStation owners.
Right.
Oh, jeez. And I think.
I have it on PlayStation.
I know Hawkeye did come out for it. And I think they're coming out with Squirrel Girl, actually.
No, they're not.
Not that I know of, anyway, dude.
Oh, man. That'd be hilarious.
Cool. That'd be great. Yeah. So, speaking of noir detectives,
nice segue.
Thank you. My number three is John Constantine.
Keanu.
Not Keanu Reeves. Gosh. Whoa. I just think having like a cool magic based game that's also like really grounded in reality, just it dives into the occult and this kind of hidden world that lives within our own world. There's a lot of potential there. It could involve crafting, right? Because a lot of what he does is like he uses idols or like things to make spells, and that could be an interesting mechanic to craft your spells and for like one time use if it's like a very limited item or something like that, because he deals with that in the comics where maybe he comes across like this occult object and it's the only one in existence and he could use it for a powerful spell, but like after that the object is gone, right? So it could be this like risk reward aspect in that. Dark and moody yet also kind of fantastical because it does involve magic and this like underworld. I think it would work kind of similar to what you were saying, Chase, about The Question, if it were almost like a noir kind of detective tale that, I think in this case, the movie was going along the correct lines, like whether or not it executed well is up for debate, but it started with a woman whose sister killed herself. And that's what he was investigating, right? And there was no sign of foul play, right? But I think having it based with something like that, like there's an initial very minor thing that he begins investigating and it ends up turning into something so much more, like that would really work. I just think it's a cool character and there's a lot of potential there. And it would be unlike other superhero games that we've had up till now and probably that we would even have after, because he fits such a unique niche in like these comic book characters in personality and in his abilities. He's human. He's just like has a understanding of magic and the occult. And I think it'd be really cool to play.
Okay.
Did you ever play Blood Rain?
I know Chase did. Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never Switch version.
Oh, okay. I've never played it, but I get the same vibes of Constantine and Blood Rain. I could be completely off base, but same tone at least.
I've never played Blood Rain, but I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough.
What's your take on it, Chase? Have you, because you probably are somewhat familiar with Constantine, right? And you've played Blood Rain, so are they similar?
You know what? I only played Blood Rain for about like 5 minutes or so before I stopped.
Okay.
Gave up on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's too bad. I don't think they're alike, Brian.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not, he's not like Blade or anything,
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Hey, I didn't think about Blade. I don't know if he's on any of your lists, but but no, it's, I mean, go rewatch Constantine, man, or read a good comic book. There's lots of actually good DC cartoons out there that involve Constantine that you should check out as well. Yeah, they're on HBO Max if you get the chance. So
nice.
Yeah.
It's been like, I don't know, 8 years since I've seen that movie. So
yeah, you might need a refresher. All right.
Very good. Well, Chase, do you want to take us with your number two?
So you talked about magic. Let me bring magic back.
Nice.
I'm thinking number two, Doctor Strange.
How long have you been at Kamaitage, Mr. Doctor? Mr. Doctor?
It's strange.
Maybe. Who am I to judge?
Very good.
Very good.
Very good.
You take the magic system from Dragon's Dogma, which is a game I just found out today. You put it in a modern day NYC setting. You pretty much just print money. No, but seriously though, we're talking origin story. It could be like one or two surgeries, something like Surgeon Simulator.
Oh, that'd be cool. Geez.
Get into a car wreck, quick time events that you fail at automatically. Oh. Lose your hands. Eventually you start making your way to the Himalayas to find the Ancient One. Just build your Doctor Strange storyline.
I think it'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. I like the Surgeon Simulator in the beginning. Yeah. That would be like a good mix to the gameplay for sure.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, like, not to take your idea and run with it here, but like, they could do the spells in an interesting way since it involves like hand movements and things like that.
A gyroscope and a controller.
Right. Right. Exactly. That'd be cool.
Or even motions with the Joy-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool. Yeah. I'm thinking the haptic feedback, you could kind of like hit your hand in different ways. And like, if you're doing surgeon stuff, like buzz it, like operation in different ways, like, oh, no, can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And eventually after you're done training, you just make your way back to New York City.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That could be very cool. I love the effects of the Doctor Strange film and I can't wait for the sequel. I'm sure. I think you feel the same, right, Chase?
Oh yeah, it definitely looks wild. I can't wait.
Yeah, and I love the way they, because like magic is a very hard thing to visualize, right? Especially like Doctor Strange's type of magic. But I don't know if you've seen No Way Home, no spoilers, or the first Doctor
I've
Strange.
Seen No Way Home. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the way they visualize magic in that is really cool. And to see that in a video game, I just think there's even more potential there. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, that could be crazy.
Yeah.
Plus, like anytime you die, you can use the Eye of Agamotto to rewind yourself back a few seconds.
And save yourself. Like a Sands of Time kind of thing going.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool, man.
Wow. For sure. Nice.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Mine is very different from my number two, and it's Thor. I think he is just the power fantasy. We've seen that. Again, it's the God of War. I feel like all of mine are going to be that action adventure, third person behind the back style.
You throw the hammer out and you get the hammer back. It's not an axe. It's not an axe.
No,
it's a hammer.
It's a hammer. Well, you could also have the axe from the other movies. But yeah, definitely the hammer and just all of his lightning spells. I mean, he was not fun in the 5 minutes that I played in Avengers. But
damn.
Yeah, did not like that. I think if you have a tight experience, though, he would be cool. Plus, you can get all of, it's like that Guardians of the Galaxy going to different planets. I think there's so many different places you could explore where, I mean, we've seen it again, just from the movies that I can draw from. But there's so many different locations and even the places that they visit in like the first Thor movie with like different creatures than we're used to seeing. That would be fun to fight in that setting.
Yeah. So a few things I thought about Thor didn't make my cut.
Sure.
I just think that. So you brought up a good point with the different planets. I think bringing in like the Norse aspect of the MCU and exploring that in like, you know, some of the galaxy more would be cool. It could even cross over maybe with Guardians in some way. Sure. But
as they usually do.
I actually thought about Jane Foster Thor. Because that was like an interesting comic book arc where she was dying of cancer. And anytime she became Thor, it would speed up her, you know, her cancer but she felt compelled to be a hero. And it was an interesting dynamic. It would be a hard thing to translate into a game. I think Thor's powers, like Superman, are kind of hard to translate into a game.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I think the best way for Thor to be in actual gameplay would be like a Hyrule Warriors similar way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just like have hordes of enemies storm Thor and just swing him away 10 at a time.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's about his power level, right? You would kind of need some huge threat, right?
I mean, that's always the problem with these super powerful characters. But then again, I say Kratos like proves that it can be done. You just have to have a really tight gameplay loop. So, yeah, it's a tough one to do, but I think people would love the power fantasy aspect of Thor for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. So you remember how I said like Superman types wouldn't make for a good game?
Don't say Superman.
Throw all that out the window. Oh, no. Because my number two is Invincible.
Oh.
Yeah. I think this could achieve what a Superman game really can't, because you aren't, in fact, invincible, as the name might suggest. There are many real threats to Mark Grayson in this. And he gets beat up all the time. Like he's among people who are on at or beyond his own power level in constantly. But I also think like there's a plethora of epic storylines they could choose from, because this comic book run's done at this point and it just went ham. There's so much stuff that happened in it. It's unbelievable. And it could have very dynamic combat. I think like air, like flight combat between two strengthened individuals could happen. Like Dragon Ball FighterZ did it to some extent and like showed it could be okay. Like it could be at least fun to watch.
If you're flying through like rings, that would be a cool dynamic.
Yeah, just for the first stage that nobody could get past. Right. I think that's actually throughout the entire game, but like
it is.
Who knows? Has anybody made it past that first stage really?
Right. It's like Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah. Wait a minute. What did you just say? Echo the Dolphin was good.
No, but at that first stage, like I could not get past it as a kid because you have to do something weird. And I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. But I also think this is a property that's really gaining in popularity because of the Amazon Prime show. So I think that the time is right for this. And it's unique too. It has unique characters that people aren't familiar with. You know, I think there is a level of exhaustion from some of these Marvel or Batman, you know, these bigger characters where, you know, there's a lot of interesting, very human emotion that these characters feel in Invincible, and they go through horrible tragedies. And yes, it tends to be lighthearted, but it also doesn't shy away from showing that side of things. Like there's a lot of loss and, you know, these characters are more human than they are super sometimes. And the MCU has done a very good job of that too, but I feel like it's something we haven't seen in many video games, right? But yeah, I think this would make a great game series. Even
this would have to be like a rated M game though,
because
we need to keep that gore intact.
Absolutely. No, I think this just lends itself to that sort of maturity rating. It can't be like PG. It's gory and like it helps convey that loss too. It helps convey like what's at stake, you know, when people are like getting their faces beat in. Have you seen the cartoon?
Yes, it is insane, especially the ending of that first episode.
Right. And it's good, though. They do change the story from the comics a little bit, but I think it's great. I love the animated series. I think it's phenomenal. Can't wait for season two.
All right. Well, let's get to these number ones then. These are the top games in this superheroes that need their own games. Take it away, Jace.
All right. So for my number one pick, I pick Daredevil.
Thank you.
All right. So just good a black pick. Screen, right?
What?
Well, not quite. All right.
Okay.
So let's get this out of the way real quick. Yes, there was a Daredevil game. It came out in 2003. It was a GBA-only title, and it was based on the Ben Affleck movie, and it was a side-scrolling beat-em-up that made no sense.
Oh. I had no idea there was a Daredevil game.
Me neither. Wow.
I haven't played it. I heard it was only good, and I saw like a walkthrough on YouTube.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I had no clue that existed, man. Good research there.
Wow.
But the modern one, the 2025 version... Knock on wood, hopefully that comes out in 2025.
Yeah.
It'd be more like Insomniac's Marvel Spider-Man, mm-hmm. plus a little bit of LA noir.
Ah.
And with the traversal system of like Mirror's Edge meets Batman with the grappling hook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
Because you have the two aspects of Daredevil. You have Daredevil, the hero. Mm-hmm. Then you have Matt Murdock, the lawyer.
The lawyer, right? Yeah, for sure.
So picture this courtroom drama. Maybe it's like three times throughout the entire story. But Matt Murdock, you're in the courtroom. You're hearing the heartbeats of the defendants and the prosecuted.
Yeah.
And you just hear nothing else but the heartbeats as it's going up and down like a basketball in an empty basketball court.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be, yeah. And then you could kind of
discern
what's going on, right? Kind of like the LA Noir tried with the facial expressions, but you're just relying on sound. That's interesting.
Maybe it's like a, instead of like a spider sense, it's more like a, you focus, you only see the entire screen turns red and you just hear the sounds. I would say smell the smells, but at this point, it'd probably just be your palm sweating.
No, well, that'd be interesting.
I think it's going to work.
I absolutely agree with you. I think it's a phenomenal pick. I don't know if there's a better pick out there.
Like the Daredevil side, it could also be tied with like a bigger universe. Maybe Fisk from the Insomniac Spider-Man's Marvel universe.
Right.
Sure.
Got released. Or you have the proxy trying to build up a new empire in like Hell's Kitchen. Mm-hmm. Hell, maybe you could even team up with other heroes nearby to take down some larger groups.
Absolutely, especially if like Wolverine has a tie into Spider-Man, you know, or I think all of them existing, and especially like Daredevil's in New York City with Spider-Man. I don't see why they wouldn't show up, right? That'd be great.
I think another thing that could possibly work is having to deal with his identity being blown up, like some old acquaintance sold him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have to recover from all that.
Yeah, it'd be good. Because he does like tell everybody he sleeps with these Daredevils. So. He really does, man. Oh, he's really bad with that. No, I think
I like that. Great. Yeah, that's a lot of good different ideas that we haven't really seen. So I could totally see that. All right. Well, my number one, it's already been mentioned, but I agree. Doctor Strange would be a phenomenal hero and have a really good game. So I didn't even think of the aspects that you were describing, but I just think the magic, that's the draw for me. Being able to bend just like reality and have all of that flashy magic happening on screen, that would be so cool to just have in a video game, and you could scale that up to the larger battles like we've seen in Avengers movies. But yeah, combining that with all the smaller aspects, like with the surgeries and things like that, that would be a really cool game. You could have upkeep at the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yeah.
You could like build that up and have different, all the different like collections of things that would be like your upgrade house for all your different abilities and things.
Right. Training, like Camartage, right?
Yeah. You
go through like different training modes. It'd be cool.
Right.
Yeah.
And Wong's got to be there. He's just going to be there for comic relief as always. So I like it. I like my own pick is what I'm saying. And Chase's pick. That's all I got though.
All right. So, my number one's also already been mentioned because it was somebody else's number one, and it was Daredevil.
Nice.
No kidding, man. No kidding. Because, yeah, I'm reading a really good run of the comic book, actually. It's a 2020 run written by Chip Zdarsky. And the artist, gosh, I wish I had the artist's name. But he does such a good job with the visualization. Oh, he's actually the artist, apparently, as well as Chip Zdarsky. So hats off to that dude. Okay. But he does this visualization of Daredevil's powers that I think is so cool, where it is all black. It is all black. But every sound creates like visuals. And I think, God, can you imagine something that is like very stark and contrasted, where it is like a black background? And you have almost like line drawings, or like he does this thing where if it's a person moving towards him, he sees them as like circular, like objects, right? It's like an interesting visualization of sound. And I think if you were to do combat in that way, where like, you know, you could see like perceive color through sound or like smell, like you said, and just make it this really like vibrant thing. And it could be, like with boss fights, you could do an interesting thing. Like maybe there's a boss that doesn't make sound because he's like a ninja, very, like the hand or something, very light on their feet. And you have to find a way to cause sound in the room to kind of like locate where he is and when he's going to come at you. Right. So I haven't played Sifu yet, but I'm thinking like that kind of gameplay where it's more like corridor based, right? Hand-to-hand combat, because I think that's where Daredevil is like really knocks it out the park. I think it could be a unique experience, and it could be like, yes, it sounds risky, but I think it's the exact type of risky that could have a huge payoff. And I agree. They should definitely incorporate some of the courtroom aspect to it as well, because that's a huge part of the character. And I think you summed it up best. Make it like that kind of mini game where you have to decipher who's telling the truth and who's lying. Right. But yeah, kind of like Spider-Man or Arkham-esque combat, but more toned down than Spider-Man, right? Because Daredevil doesn't quite have that like power set, but he is very agile and can move really well. But yeah, I just think there's a lot of potential there too. If you're like roaming the open world, and just think about all the sights that we see, but now think of all the sounds we hear, right? And like the world can have this life breathed into it through those sounds. And I think that would be just awesome to like somebody can visualize it better than I'm explaining it, right? I'm sure you're already doing so.
I almost have like super hot in mind, where it's like very
okay. Yeah,
you could kind of blur the image of super hot and have more of like an aura of people, but then just like going through and like it's very plain, but then you see what you need to see basically. And if someone is coming at you hotter, then like maybe that color, like you said, turns a shade that you know, I need to deal with it in this way.
Yeah, I think that's along the right lines. I was picturing more color in the world. Like maybe the world would be white or black like that. But as far as the things like the people or the threats or the objects or the cars, like more color involved with that. Like not everything has to be either red or gray. Like it isn't super hot, right? But no, I think that's a really good, like that that's definitely how I was thinking of it in my head.
Well, now
thinking like backgrounds, but each different sound makes its own color. Echo line location kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like cars could be like this nice white. Humans would be a red warm.
Right.
It'd maybe be cool. Birds. Yeah. The traffic lights, electricities.
Yeah.
It's got the general hustle and bustle of being in New York City.
Right.
Right. And even like the space between the sound still being that stark white or black, right? Like the sound kind of like causes color to like come off of it, you know, where it's not a constant, right? You know, does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like a wave rippling.
Right, exactly. That would be great. I think it'd be phenomenal.
This does sound like a really hard thing to just like describe to an artist to then put onto a video, like an impossible job.
But I mean, the worst part is people listening can't see my hand movements, and there are a lot of hand movements I'm doing right now. Yeah.
Gotta watch the video to get the full effect here.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's my number one. I think that's why I'm surprised somebody else put it. I think it's a great pick, Chase, for sure.
Yeah, I think most people say no because he's blind. So it's like, okay, what do you even do with that? So yeah, it's cool to kind of think about all those different aspects that, I mean, we haven't even seen in video games before. So yeah, kudos. All right. Well, those are our lists. we've got a mission debrief coming up here. So yeah, stick around with us for that. But before we get to that, I do want to say thank you again, Chase, for coming on. And this was a great suggestion and a great list to kind of go through. So can you kind of run through it again? Where can people find you and Playcube Gamecast?
Oh, you can just find us on like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, sometimes Twitter, mostly Instagram.
Yeah.
At Playcube Gamecast.
Okay.
Yep, we'll have his links in the show notes as well. And I definitely recommend everybody go check out his podcast with Jimmy and sometimes Mushi too, right? It's great. There was another episode you did with Mushi where she was talking about Doki Doki Literature Club. And it actually made me want to play that game, and I haven't played it. And what were the other detective ones? There's like the
Famicom Detective Club.
Yeah. I thought that was another great episode, man. I love listening to your podcast. I think you guys do a great job. And I actually mistakenly said on a prior episode that Keith was the first person to reach out to us. And I think you actually were the first person to reach out to us. It was when we first started podcasting. And it was such a crazy thing. I remember messaging Brian and being like, dude, there's another podcast that like wants to talk to us. Like, what? This is so cool. It was like, yeah. And so I appreciate you communicating with us and staying in touch and everything and coming on the show, man. It's been a long time coming, and I'm sorry we couldn't get you on sooner.
Hey, one of the best things about being a podcaster in this time frame is that meeting all the people who started with me, started with the same era year.
Yeah.
So it's just nice seeing us grow and to have different things out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I know you guys do like a full on weekly show, and we do like a try to be a bi-weekly show.
It's tough though, man. You know, it is tough to get it all done and in and edited and everything. Yeah. So you guys do a great job though. Like, your shows are always entertaining. The Simpsons ones were awesome too. The Simpsons Hit and Run and Road Rage. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you again. And let's get into our mission debrief then. All right, Chase, so do you have anything else that you might want to add this week that is maybe another game or movie, comic, book, anything at all that you want to bring to our attention or our listeners' attention?
Oh, wow.
Very broad question.
Is there anything that exists that you want to talk about?
Well, we kind of made this space because this happens to us every single week where we're like, we played all these games, but like also this book came out and there's no like space to talk about that. So
yeah,
we had to get another like list off rocket ship kind of pun thing in there. So the mission debrief begins.
I have nothing other than the fact that I've been watching a bunch of Law and Order SVU recently.
That is a good pick. I have seen a lot of that show. It's a great show. But yeah, please continue.
Like, recently I've been watching the entire first season on Hulu. And there's just one nitpick I have. It's this one episode, like episode one, episode 15. It's called Entitled. And it promises to be like a second part on the actual original Law and Order flagship movie, TV show.
Yeah.
But the problem is that does not exist anywhere.
Oh no.
Like, the best I could do was find a video on Daily Motion that is slowed down to 1.08 speed.
Oh man.
Wow.
So everyone's talking a little bit slower than usual. And so it's just messing with me. So I can't sit through that.
But gotta pick up VHS copies of the seasons for Law and Order.
The only way I could find this episode was on eBay. There's a full 20 season box set on DVD, and it's $150.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. For one episode too. I mean, granted, they might do it again. If you're only on season one, it might happen next season too.
That is not a commitment I'm willing to make right now.
I totally understand. That's an incredible amount of money for DVDs.
Jeez.
So do you like the show though?
Yeah, I love the show. It's pretty great.
Like, what would you compare it to? Is it kind of like, I can't even think of the one where they're like unsub. They say unsub all the time.
Criminal Minds.
Is it kind of like that or a little different? Or
Law and Order is pretty much just in its world of its own because it is a police procedural plus the courtroom aspect. Okay. But
SVU is the best compare in the series for sure.
Yeah. I do like some Law and Order episodes, especially with Sam Waterston as Jack McCoy.
Yeah.
He was just that OG prosecutor type.
Man, that stuff is like all Greek to me. I'm like, oh yeah, Sam really? Waterston is Colt McCoy.
Oh man, I've seen most of Law and Order. I know the sound. Yes, everyone does. Dun, dun.
That's right.
Criminal Intent was kind of cool. I don't think it got near the traction as the other series, but yeah, SVU is definitely. I think it's still running. That's the show.
Is this the one with Ice-T?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Nice. And does it have what's his name? Maloney? Christopher Maloney?
Yeah. Christopher.
Oh, he's cool too, man. Yeah. So yeah. Maybe this actually would be the one I watch.
And Mariska Hargitay.
Well, whatever.
Mariska Hargitay.
Yes.
Mariska Hargitay.
Mariska Hargitay.
Okay, Mr. Love Guru.
Yes.
But yeah, do you know Christopher Maloney's back as Elliot Stabler?
Oh, in what in the show?
Actually, he has his own show. It's called Law and Order Organized Crime.
That's interesting.
Man, who knew?
Might have to check that out. See, this is the Mission Debrief in all its glory.
I know. I'm telling you, like, there's a lot. I feel like Law and Order, I'm a little too late to the party. It would be quite the undertaking, right?
It's
like,
never too late.
Just carve out like 3,000 hours and you'll be good.
Nah, I'm good. I'm too busy watching Peacemaker, which is not my Mission Debrief.
Right. Well, very good. So my Mission Debrief is The Legend of Zelda Minish Cap. So I've been chugging away at this. I played it when it came out. And I remember playing this game and thinking, this art style, like, I'm still not sold on it. Because this was the Wind Waker time. So it has that same kind of, I mean, it's
the best art style.
I mean, it's fantastic. Like, going back to it now, I'm like, okay, yes, I enjoyed this game. I think I was, you know, influenced by the wave of hatred that Wind Waker and this game, like, that art style was, it's timeless. Like, you can't compare it anymore. And I loved Wind Waker and I love this game, but I'm playing it on my 3DS in maybe not so proper ways, but it looks great on there. I haven't shelled out the money for, hold on one second.
Dude, you all right?
I might die.
Oh no.
Haven't shelled out the money for an analog pocket, but, that would be my goal. But yeah. Why don't you go, Ryan? Because I'm not going to survive this one.
No, the analog pocket is pricey, right? Like a little pricey for the handheld, isn't it? Like a couple $100?
It's like $210 roughly.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It seems incredible. And I would love to get it, but it's $210. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And it's not until 2023.
So I did notice you said you were playing Minish Cap, but that is a mispronunciation of Demon Souls, Brian. That's actually not what you should be playing. Here's the thing.
I knew you were going to bring this up. I knew it.
Am I that predictable?
So I've been playing through Eternal, which was the oft-requested game of last year.
I'm glad you are.
All right. I told you I need a buffer game. Demon Souls is not a buffer game between Returnal. Those are like the same type of game.
No, I agree.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Minish Cap is more the speed that I was looking for.
The thing I'm concerned about, because I'm going to play through Demon's Souls at the same time you do. And the thing that I'm concerned about is, am I going to want to play Demon's Souls after I play Elden Ring? Because I'm definitely playing Elden Ring first.
Yeah. I mean, we have all year. I was going to do it like December 20th or something. I was going to start Demon's Souls.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do it. We'll do it. Yeah. December 20th. 9th, 30th.
Yeah. We'll get it done.
Yeah, no worries.
We'll have a little blurb on it.
Yeah, definitely. So for my Mission Debrief, I want to talk about a book I actually mentioned on Twitter a while back. It's Not All Fairy Tales Have Happy Endings, written by Ken Williams, the founder of Sierra Online. And it's awesome. This book was just so incredible to read through. I remember playing Sierra games. Actually, there was another thing going around on Twitter where it was like, age yourself with a computer game, right? And I had an Apple IIe really early on in my childhood. It's the first thing I ever played a game on. And I had Frogger and I had a game called Threshold. So I found a shot of the box of Threshold for the Apple IIe and I posted on Twitter. And I realized at the bottom of that, it said it was made by Sierra Online. It's actually the company they were prior to the rebranding. But man, I was like, God, I didn't even realize they made this game. And then you read this book and you realize just how many games they made and how influential they were for the progression of video games as a whole, especially on PC. And I mean, they were early adopters of online gameplay. They had their whole like own net to play on really, really early on before the World Wide Web was even a thing, which is just astonishing. And I mean, it is written by the founder of the company. He doesn't, you know, he comes across as a very genuine person, but he has no issue talking about the accomplishments that he made in a good light. And he, which is good because, man, they did so much for gaming. And I think it's just a company. When we did our top 10 developers, I had mentioned Sierra. And I think it's just a developer people don't think of when they get nostalgic for gaming, right? And I mean, we do tend to think of them as point and click adventure games, and now that's kind of an aged game type. But I mean, they did King's Quest, they did Leisure Suit Larry, they did, you know, the Laura Bow mysteries, they did so many games, and it's just cool to watch how the company was built. How they weren't even sure how to get games out there. They became a publisher and distribution company at the same time just to accommodate getting their games out there, because literally the first game they published that hit the market and did well, they didn't even know how to like make copies of it and get it out there. They had to hire so many people so fast that they hired locally from the town they were in. They were working out of their home. Like Ken and Roberta Williams, obviously. And it's interesting to hear the story of how he met his wife. His wife is responsible for writing many of these games. And I won't go too much into it. I do recommend everybody read the book for themselves. But man, it was awesome. And it was also kind of bittersweet because you do get to hear about the end of the company and how things really went downhill after he sold it, which was unfortunate. But you know, you get to hear about him meeting Bill Gates and all these like crazy. It was just a crazy time for the computing industry. You know, it was different. Like Steve Jobs was different than what we think of him as. And Bill Gates was very different than what we think of him as. And it's like an insider look into all that, the growth of what we almost take for granted today. Right. So, it brought back a lot of good memories and made me really nostalgic for this company in particular and yesteryear in general when it comes to video games. So I would highly recommend Not All Fairy Tales Have Happy Endings by Ken Williams.
Okay. That sounds interesting. I'll have to definitely check that out.
It is. If you have a library card, you could get an app and get the ebook on your phone, actually. So yeah, that's how I would recommend doing it.
I'm pretty sure Sierra is part of the Activision deal, if I'm not mistaken. So that would
maybe they own the rights to the games.
Yeah. So that'll be under the Microsoft umbrella soon enough.
Oh boy.
Not certain on that, but maybe.
Yeah. Before we say our goodbyes, I just had a few questions for you, Chase. Nothing major. Do you have a game that means a lot to you, or like your favorite game you've ever played that you just want to talk about real quick? I know I'm putting you on the spot. I didn't really tell you about this beforehand, but what, you know, just some game that really stands out to you in your own gaming history.
I feel like every year I play a bunch of different games, especially indie games that really just are different from the other stuff I usually play. But there will always be just one game that stands out in the back of my mind due to its unique cel-shaded art style, mm-hmm. the hip-hop funky beats of the music, and
let's go.
The unique aspect of Rocket Rollerblades.
Oh.
I'm talking about Jet Set Radio Future.
Nice.
Very good, dude. That's a great pick, man. Real heyday of the Dreamcast there.
Xbox.
Well, was it on Dreamcast too, though?
That was the
first one.
First one.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about Jet Set Radio Future. Sorry. Yeah. Right. I'm thinking Jet Grind Radio. Yeah. My bad. No, it's great, man. Yeah, I thought you were going with Parappa the Rapper for a second. I got really excited when you were like, them funky hip hop beats. I was like, oh my gosh, it's going to be Parappa. but no, it ended up being a good game anyway. I do want you to know, we really appreciate you coming on. And yeah, once again, guys, if you haven't listened to Play Cube Gamecast, definitely come out and do so. They're awesome. They do a great job. And do something that we typically don't, which is retro games. Not that we avoid them. They do make our list from time to time, but it's so hard because like gaming has moved so far forward that whenever you're ranking things into tens, it's tough to get like retro games in there when it's like involving things that we've like improved upon, right? Yeah. Graphics and story and things like that, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure we'll get some more lists that have those retro games in mind.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of lists we haven't done. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I can't get over the name Play Cube Gamecast. Now that you've explained each point of that, I love that. That's so clever to do. So yeah, kudos there.
Thanks. We couldn't work out a way to put a DX for Xbox in, so we just left it out.
Yeah, I think you're good.
Oh, but that's like part of the one logo, right? Where you have the X and you have them all in there.
Yeah.
Ah, I getcha. Now it's even better.
Nice. All right. Well, this has been a great episode. Thank you again, Chase, for coming on. It was really good to hear your superheroes here. But yeah, as always, guys, thank you so much for joining us and listening and watching. And we will see you next week. We have a show.
We do.
It's a big one.
It's a big one. It's our mission report. So yes, we could do whatever the heck we want. And do we want to do Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard?
Heck no.
No, we don't. So what are we going to do instead?
We are going to talk ad nauseum about Inscryption because Ryan has finished it and we have a lot to say and we want a nice safe space to do it in. And that's going to be it. We're going to talk about Inscryption and there's so much to unpack.
Yeah.
And I am very excited for that one.
Yeah. And if you're afraid of spoilers, I will say it's going to be a brief lead in, but we will have a very clear spot where we say, okay, like this will be the spoiler wall after this point. Right. So you could definitely tune in and listen to the first maybe 10, 15 minutes where we go over basic gameplay, story, sound design, things like that without giving any spoilers away. And there will be a very clear point where we give you the fair warning.
That's right. Very excited about that one. So tune in for that. But yeah, we will see everyone next week for that one. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.